Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the our number one economic development meeting. With us tonight, our interpreters, Andrew Andrew and Liza, sorry. Welcome. And everybody else, welcome. It's now 6:02. We'll start the committee meeting. We have to adopt the agenda. Do we have a motion? Deputy Mayor? I forgot her name. Yeah. Do we have seconder? Huh? Lorna Allen. We have seconder. Any comments about the agenda? No. Everybody go for agenda. Please vote. Oh, in favor. Okay. Now the agenda is passed. Do we have declaration of interest? Oh, minutes. Okay, sorry. My first sharing this year. Okay, minutes. The minutes is from August 8, 2024. That was meeting number one as well. Anybody wants to make a motion to adopt the meeting? Deputy Mayor, I keep forgetting your name. Okay. And do we have a seconder? Tanya? Any comments about the minutes from last meeting? I guess there's no comments. Ready to vote? All in favor? Everyone, unanimous? Now we go to a declaration of interest. Anybody have to declare interest on this from this agenda? No. So no delegations. With a small one to with number four, we don't have deferred business. So we continue on to number five, new business. Bill?
Thank you, Chair Kunick, and welcome everybody. This evening, it is my pleasure to introduce Dominic Gagne. He is our new Economic Development Officer, sitting here on the left of me. Dominic joins us. He's a graduate of the University of Ottawa with a Bachelor of Commerce from the Telfer School of Management, and he's been on board with us here with the city for the last few months, and this is his first meeting here with the committee, so we just wanted to welcome him and thank him for joining the city's team, and we're excited to have him on board with us. So, thank you.
Welcome, Dominic. Now we go to the next item. Operational review, Dominic.
Thank you. I just wanted to give you guys a little overview of what I've done since beginning the role in April, May. So this is just going to be a list of everything that was done pretty much in order. So since beginning my role, I've focused on strengthening the city's economy and development capacity through improved business licensing system, community programming, funding acquisitions, and interdimensional collaboration. Following Jeff's efforts, the following provides an overview of key projects. So first priority was addressing the business licensing system. Once I started Outcrop, which did our previous system, informed us that there were some lacks, they would need to be updated. And then following our efforts of the planning department and cloud permit, we've decided to go forward with that. So I've been trying to implement that. It's almost ready to go live in the coming weeks. Community involvement has been another major area of focus. I supported municipal enforcement with an annual bike safety program and organized community cleanup alongside the government of Nunavut, the environmental side. It was a pretty good success this year. We've gathered more garbage bags than we've had in previous years, so that's always a plus. In addition, I've collaborated a lot with the recreational department to help organize summer in the square events and coordinate the craft sales targeting.
Excuse me, Dominic.
Yep.
We have to go. We have interpreters.
Yeah.
We have to
speak a little slower. Okay.
Slower.
Thank you. Sorry about that. Yes, so I've helped organize the Summer in the Square event and coordinated a craft sale targeted visitors from the Silver Seas cruise ship in an effort to build up our relationship with cruise ships coming into town. While the sale received mixed feedback from residents, it did help solidify a relationship with the Silver Seas cruise line. I've also worked with representative of North of North to establish key contacts and different ways of doing things for the upcoming return to Iqaluit to ensure a smoother coming back. To support business growth and streamline development, I created a filming license that will help support the process of North coming back, and just in general filming within municipal limits. I've also organized, with the help of Jeff and Bill, the Small Business Week, which provided a series of 5 lunch and learn series for local entrepreneurs here in Iqaluit that were able to come during their lunch hour and not miss any work time or have to take time away from work to be able to come and see what resources were available for them locally. Notably, we had myself and Jim from the procurement team presenting opportunities with the city. We had community services from the GN present their funding opportunities for small businesses. CanNor present their EOIs that were just opening and how to apply with them. We also had different other representatives from organizations within town that offer support for small businesses. Following this throughout the year, and since my time here, I've met with multiple local entrepreneurs that were looking for funding for their respective businesses or were just looking for guidance on how to start their local businesses, and I was able to provide a lot of opportunities that way. I'm also in the process of developing a comprehensive needs assessment for staff training internally within the cities and its multiple departments, focusing on fire services, EMS, public works, to be able to provide a training facility for them to be able to do their training locally, to reinforce opportunities here in Iqaluit, and lessen our dependence on southern contractors. Funding acquisitions and management have also been a key component of my work. I've completed an outstanding report on the Building Safer's Community Fund that the city has with the federal government, as well as just doing some housekeeping on various funds that were outstanding at this time. I've worked with the recreation department, secured $35,000 for funding for elders activities and $118,000 for renovations for the youth center and the Kamak. I've also submitted an application on the SSDIC fund to help renovate our ball field along with the current investments that was put in by council. And I've also worked with the Blue Jays Field of Dreams initiative to further get support for the ball fields to hopefully be able to turf the whole thing. I've worked with the clerk department to secure funding for French translation to complement the budget. And I've had meetings with Nutrition North to see how they operate and better support businesses that would like or could qualify for their services once I meet businesses that do. Finally, I recently represented the city at the Nunavut Trade Show, where I was able to put many faces to emails that I have been emailing recently, which is always great to know the person behind the @gmail.com. Also, in my professional capacity, I've completed now 12 out of the 13 of the NIDA EDO training program, which has helped provide me with valuable tools and framework for effective community and economic development tailored to northern situations. And then, in summary, my work as economic development officer has focused on improving internal systems, supporting local businesses, fostering community engagement, and advancing key development projects. These efforts have helped strengthen the city's economic foundation while laying groundwork for long-term sustainable growth, and I hope that these efforts keep going as far as I'm here. Thank you.
Thank you, Dominic. Any questions to Dominic? Kim? Kimberly?
Thank you, Dominic. You've been busy, clearly, since you've started here, so this is great to see, and thank you for making this presentation. I like the work that you've been doing with especially our internal systems to try to kind of streamline some of that. I know one of my, questions is, and this ties into a larger thing, is I know that you can apply for a business license online. One thing that I think would be great for us to do, and I know we've tried to do this, but our website is in a bit of a state, and I think that would be very helpful for residents and for businesses to be able to actually, you know, get the resources on an easy-to-navigate website. So I'd love to see us be able to prioritize getting a website that is functional. And another thing as part of that that kind of ties into this a bit as well is a website that also has maybe a payment portal on it. Like, why, you know, I know this isn't necessarily you, but like, to dispose of a tire, why do I have to drive here, pay, get a permit, and then go to the dump, where you could just, you know, do that online or pay your property taxes online? Like, I think if we make these systems easier for people, people might actually do them, but that ties into business licensing and all other stuff, right? Like, a lot of different stuff could be processed through an effective website, so I think that's something that I'd really like to see us work on. But you've been doing an awesome job with a lot of great stuff, and I've been hearing a lot of good feedback, so very excited. Thank you.
Dominic, you.
Thank you. To answer your question, and thank you for your question, with Cloud Permit, there is the possibility to develop that. It would be, we'd have to consider the internal of being able to offer that service, but we could potentially bring in the fees to them. So that's something I'll talk about internally with Bill and then consult with them as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Deputy Mayor Smith, for the question. Just a note, we're doing, and has been presented to Council, we are working on a bit of a digital transformation within the city. So there's a lot of moving parts. We've obviously updated our planning and development side with Cloud Permit, which is now extending to business licensing and may also look into other services such as film permits and such those nature. Also part of that expansion is just getting some of the data security and working on that. So we are working on that on the back end, but finance and corporate services will have a bit of an update eventually on the payment processing side, and then the city website I'll leave to communications. It's a little outside of our wheelhouse.
Is that answered? Okay. Jesse?
Call me. Thank you, Dominic. Welcome. Tungasugit. Thanks for this report. I've definitely noticed more city events going on in the last few months, which is awesome to see. So congratulations on everything you've done. I'm curious to know, so you spoke about meeting with small business clients and meeting with independent businesses. I'm curious if you also met with nonprofit organizations and kind of a larger question is, how do you see nonprofit organizations playing a role in the job that you have?
Dominic?
Thank you for your question. I have seen a couple of nonprofits, and this is something I was discussing, what Jeff was telling me in the initial. A lot of nonprofits won't get a business license with the city, so I'm not seeing all the nonprofits that are in town. There's a large amount that I haven't been seeing, but I have conferred and discussed with the couple that have come to me. And to go on for your question, sorry, I'm blanking on the initial part, but I have met with them, and I try to help them as much as I can. The resources are not as readily available for nonprofits as they are for small businesses, so it's a little bit harder. And a lot of people, in my experience, people put more effort in the business sometimes than they will put in starting their small profit. So unfortunately, a lot of people I'll discuss with, the discussion won't go anywhere, or they'll eventually stop responding. But I'm working with small business nonprofits. I have during the lunch and learn events we did, the thrift store actually came and was able to gather resources, and I was able to talk with them. And we have them schedule a meeting soon. And we don't have a date yet, but they want to have a meeting just to discuss opportunities for them as well. So, yeah, I hope that answers most of your question.
Does that answer your question? Go ahead.
Just a follow-up, I guess it's more a comment. I'm asking because, in my opinion, nonprofits are the biggest untapped source of economic development in the whole territory, really, but certainly in Iqaluit. We contribute 5% to the GDP. We employ over 1,000 people. There's 125 nonprofits in Iqaluit alone. And all four of the non-city members here in chambers today are work for nonprofit organizations. So, I just encourage you to reach out to organizations like NANPO, for example. We can work together and kind of just increase that. I know that a lot of nonprofits are not great at fulfilling their administrative requirements. And I think there's a lot of ways we can work together to help them get there. Nakulbay.
Okay, Dominic, you want to answer that? No. Okay, we go to Tanya. Sorry.
Thank you, Chair. And just to further answer, so I'm going to put my former hat on as a executive director of a nonprofit, and specifically in the ECDev space. There's kind of three pillars that the ECDev office within the city really plays. Is first and foremost is licensing. That's our mandatory legislated directive based on the acts that we have to follow. The next piece is pathfinding, and that's for both businesses, nonprofits, anyone really operating in the business or nonprofit space here in the capital. And then thirdly is what I would call more workforce development, and that's a bit of not just the city's workforce development, but for the workforce of the city as a whole, and really matching the demands in town from a workforce standpoint to the businesses, nonprofits, and the community and government agencies that are here. So with that lens on, Dominic is working on different initiatives. He's still early in his days. As we go through the business licensing process, which a good chunk of our nonprofits are, Dominic will get to interact with a lot more of them in his first year of the business licensing. But the second piece of that too is really on the workforce development. That's where we see a lot of opportunities with partnerships and synergies within the nonprofits, especially if we're offering training through the city, having extra seats or things available to those other agencies here in town. So definitely something we're going to be working on and kind of broadening, but as Dom's still, just getting in, he's just getting started. But those are kind of the three pillars we work around within economic development here. In the south, you'll sometimes see them work on business attraction. We're not really focused on that right now. We have quite an awesome homegrown work here. We have some workforce development work to do before we start working on the attraction side of things. So got to fill the vacancies that are already here. So, but appreciate it. And we're always excited to work with any of the NGOs here in town.
Thank you, Bill. Any more questions? Okay, we go to Tanya.
Thank you. Sorry, I have to get this close. My question kind of pulls off of that and it kind of goes into like a bigger question. I think you slightly tapped into it with your answer, but it wasn't quite the answer. It's more about the boom in economic development that's coming. You know, the federal government has been pushing Arctic relocation, Arctic moving, everything's coming north. And then there's also the issue of Arctic security and how that's going to be changing our economic systems here in the territory. So my question is, are we looking into that future planning of what the next 5 to 10 years is going to look like in terms of business development? I know you said we're not looking into new, but they're going to be coming. And my question is about Inuit own, like Inuit intellectual property and Inuit's ability to have Inuit own businesses. You know, are we putting policies in place, or can I recommend we review and put policies in place that ensure that Inuit-owned businesses have a priority in the support that we're creating for businesses in the territory, mostly because what we see is a lot of southern businesses finding northern Inuit partners to give them that 50% Inuit-owned business. And so I would really like to see more Inuit-owned businesses maybe get support, but be the core rather than just the 51% that gives them that benefit. So, can we start thinking about that? Because it's getting to be, it's going to be in the next like 2 to 5 years become the economic change with the cruise ship, with the deep seaport, with the amount of tourism, with the TV show, with everything coming in. How are we able to support Inuit locally to be able to create business and sustain business without relying on major southern partners? Is, I don't know if there's an answer, but a thought.
Yeah, yep. And thank you, member at large, Tutu. So kind of two answers to that. First and foremost, the city does have an economic development plan that was just finalized and approved last year. So that is kind of the guiding document that guides a lot of Dominic's work and kind of the priorities. Second part to that is the city of Iqaluit is a public government, so we serve all. So Dominic's office, we cannot necessarily prioritize anyone. He has to work with anybody and everybody who comes and requests, you know, support or pathfinding services. So, and that's based on our contribution agreement with the government of Nunavut, as well as just being a public entity. So we work on that first and foremost. As far as education around joint ventures and partnerships, we can play a role in some of those education sessions, and that I think Dom is going to be one we can add to our ongoing Lunch and Learn series. A lot of the advocacy around the procurement priorities, that is more of a government in Nunavut and federal government on how their procurement practices. Unfortunately, that's not something we can do. We do, however, set the, and council sets the procurement opportunities priorities within the city itself. So that may be something that the committee wants to dive into a little more on some of the procurement, something we could look at. But overall, we follow our economic development plan and work with the planning and lands department on the incoming. I always caution, there's been a lot of announcements. Until things actually get firm and development permits, that's when we start to get more into the readiness, so to speak. But once those development permits come in, that really kicks off, okay, what's the workforce? What's the demand? Is there the business opportunities? But until those come in, it's a bit of a guessing game. Once we get development permits, it can be anywhere from 2 to 5 years, depending on, and sometimes longer, depending on what the opportunity is. But we have a pretty good grounding of what workforce development needs to happen to take advantage of a lot of those opportunities, and hoping to work with partners like the GN, different associations in town that do business development to be ready for what those opportunities are. Hopefully that answers all your questions. I think I got them all.
Does that answer your questions?
Like, I just, like, I'm not saying, like, prioritize or favoritize. I just think that joint ventures actually, there's a history of advantage taken with joint ventures. And I just want to know if what can we do to ensure that we're protecting and being able to support and promote more local economy from creating business rather than a lot of business coming from the South. Because it's, for me, it's about keeping the economy here. And yeah, thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Again, as the city, we are an administrator of business licenses. We can't tell anyone who or not to do business with. And I will also caution a lot of the individuals doing joint ventures with partners are here, residents and businesses here. So it is not up to city administration to say whether that's a good thing or a bad thing. If there's some interest on having more sessions in education around joint ventures and fair and equal partnership and best business practices, that's definitely something we can work on the education side and with the different partners in town, but we can't necessarily dictate that from an administration standpoint.
Does that answer your question?
I guess I'm just wondering then, who does create the policies in place on ensuring that there are those supports in place if it isn't the city in how they administer those business licenses?
Bill?
Yeah, so if we're trying to understand root cause of why individuals are joint venturing,
it's more just how can, like, what in terms of the economic boom, how are we able to ensure that there are policies in place that protect and ensure that the local economy can grow versus, like, southern manufacturers? Because it's not just about joint ventures, but it's just really about there's so much opportunity in the north, and a lot of the opportunity, even though it's here for us, isn't seen. So I'm just wondering, like, I don't know, like, if we're, like, where do the policy, who's creating the policies into how we ensure those protections for the community, if it's not the Economic Development Committee with that piece?
Yeah, and thank you, Chair. So first and foremost, it's who's procuring or who's buying the services or goods or product. In a lot of the cases, a lot of the economic development happening in the city is not the city's projects, right? These are federal government, they're private businesses, they're Inuit orgs. There's many, many people making that investment and spending those dollars. If it's city projects and city projects, we have our procurement process that we do have priorities in place for local and best value within our procurement bylaw that is set by council. But those other entities that have their own procurement policies, like the government of Nunavut, the federal government, the different Inuit orgs, that is their own policies on how they buy goods and services. So there may be a bit of an advocacy piece to play there, whether it be local groups or if the committee would like to write letters in that sense of that being changed, but often it is outside of the city's administrative control to actually dictate to those other upper levels of government or other private entities on how they buy or purchase services.
Thank you, Bill. Is that answer your question? Okay, we move to Kimberly.
I think just to comment on some of what Taya was saying, I think, you know, as a city, we have certain kind of roles that we play. And I think one of the roles that we have and we've been doing is we haven't seen very much development here. Like, we've seen a lot of the core densification, but council recently approved the development of the West 40 area. So that's going to be a lot of new area for kind of like commercial, industrial space, outfitting space. There's dedicated lots for ecotourism. So there's, you know, there's certainly opportunities there. When we dispose of those lots, it will be coming to council on how those are kind of allocated and who they're allocated to. One of the other things that I know we've talked about, I think, a little bit in this committee, but also certainly behind the scenes, is how difficult it is to start up as a small business here with the, you know, the lack of available space, you know, the exorbitant cost of leasing a space, just like operations costs, lack of resources. So one of the things that we've been talking about, and this is obviously not something that's going to happen tomorrow or even next year, but something that I personally would really love to see is the development of some sort of incubator space. You know, and whether that's, you know, our next city hall, we include that in that concept, you know, but these are things, that's something that would be, I think, very, very beneficial to businesses here, to get them off the ground, get them started. You know, you don't want to be in an incubator space forever, but also where else are you going to start, right? Like, there's a very, very low vacancy rate, not for only for housing, but for commercial space, for all of that, right? And a lot of these smaller businesses can't necessarily afford a solo space, so a shared space might be a good way. But that's something, you know, that I think we can all work towards, that I think would be beneficial for sure. But anyway, thank you.
Thank you. Kimberly? Anybody? No. We don't have anybody want to say any more or indicate. We will go to the last item in agenda. We need a motion to adjourn the meeting. Kimberly moves the motion to adjourn the meeting. Anybody second it? My eyes are not too good.
Laura.
Yeah. Laura seconded. Okay. Everybody in favor? Okay. Now the meeting is adjourned. We can have no